So if you've closed your Bible, Romans chapter 8, focusing on the first 11 verses this morning. Before we actually come to Romans chapter 8, I have five mind-blowing facts for you this morning. Are you ready for these five mind-blowing facts?
Yes.
I don't think you can be ready for how much your mind will be blown by these five facts this morning. Five mind-blowing facts for you today. Mind-blowing fact number one. A typical cloud weighs 1 million tons. 1 million tons. They look so light and fluffy, don't they? But they're actually really heavy. I see your minds aren't blown that much. Maybe they're getting increasingly mind-blowing. Mind-blowing fact number two. Snails can have up to 12,000 teeth. Wow. Is that mind-blowing or just kind of nightmare-inducing? 12,000 teeth. Mind-blowing fact number three. Prepare to have your mind blown. There are more trees on Earth than stars in the galaxy. Oh, yeah, there we go. That's impressive, isn't it? Mind-blowing fact number four. This is a historical fact. Cleopatra lived closer in history to the invention of the mobile phone than the building of the Great Pyramids of Egypt. That's fairly mind-blowing, isn't it? Close in time to the invention of the mobile phone than the building of the pyramids. Mind-blowing fact number five, and I think this is the most mind-blowing of all. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's mind-blowing, isn't it? That's a mind-blowing fact I want us to focus on this morning. And if you forget all of the other facts this morning, if you can't remember how many teeth snails have, and you don't remember how many trees there are in relation to stars in the galaxy, that doesn't matter. The important thing is to remember this. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. A sentence that means that we can go through life with real confidence and assurance and hope. So I want this morning just to think mostly, although we'll look at all of those 11 verses, mostly just thinking about what that verse means, what that sentence means, and why it's such an encouragement for us today. Important words for us to hear, whether we're people who already know what it means that there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, or maybe if we're here and we don't yet know Jesus and aren't following him and are wondering what exactly that good news is. So we're going to see the encouragement that comes from those words. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And to see that encouragement, we first need to realize that we all deserve condemnation. We will get to the good news in a bit, but we do need to start here. Otherwise, the rest of this won't make any sense at all. We need to remember that we all deserve condemnation. That's God's verdict on humanity, on how we've lived, on our hearts, our lives. Which sounds like a harsh judgment in a world where we're told to just believe in ourselves and then you can achieve anything. But this is God's verdict, so we need to listen carefully. God's verdict that Paul has wrote about early in Romans, quoting God's words in the Old Testament that say, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside, together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. And a bit later on, all, includes all of us, including me, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us that God has shown us the right way to live in this world. He's given us his law, his commands. And he's given us consciences that remind us of the right way to live, that give us that sense of guilt when we go wrong. If we examine our lives against God's commands, against God's standards, well, we fall short. That's an understatement. We fall very far short. We often fail to live up to our own standards, let alone the standards of this perfect, holy God. And that failure to live the right way, that failure to live God's way, that's sin, that all of us have sinned. And And we could try and present a kind of filtered version of our lives for other people so they don't see the worst of us. And we can try and flatter ourselves. But we can't fool God, who sees everything and knows everything, who sees our sin, who sees our failures to do what is right. And because he's a holy and righteous God, he can't just ignore sin. He can't just ignore the sin that's in his creation. And what's the consequence of our sin? Well, left to ourselves, we read that the wages of sin is death. The reality of what sin earns for us. A death sentence. That even now humans can be physically alive, but spiritually dead. Spiritually cut off from God who gives life. And in the future, what we deserve is condemnation. The condemnation of eternal spiritual death. The wages of sin is death. That's what we deserve for our sin. That's the right judgment of a holy and righteous and just God. And left to ourselves, it's like humanity is trapped in this kind of spiritual prison, trapped between these walls of sin and death, with this condemnation hanging over us. And we're not able to escape from that prison even if we wanted to. We all deserve condemnation. But now the good news, that Jesus came to set us free. There's the good news. We deserve condemnation, but Jesus came to set us free. Free from that prison cell of condemnation, free from that sin and death, free to enjoy life with our God. Verse 2, the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Where we were trapped in the hold of sin and death, well, now God's Spirit has set us free. And how has he set us free? Well, in Christ Jesus. He shows us Jesus, who, as we've sung, took the blame, bore the wrath, so we can stand forgiven at the cross. So instead of having that verdict of condemned, we have a very different verdict placed on us. And Paul goes on here in this chapter to show us what happened at the cross, so we understand how it is that we can say there's no condemnation for us who deserve condemnation. Before we get to that, we do get a reminder that this freedom from condemnation is not something we can achieve ourselves. I've already hinted at that, but it's really important that we understand that this freedom from condemnation is not something we can achieve ourselves, not something we can earn ourselves. It's not something we can earn by saying, right, from now on, I'm going to try really hard to obey God's law. Now, that's not the path to freedom and eternal life. It can't be. Not because there's a problem with the law, because God's law is perfect and holy, because there's a problem with us. That's what verse 3 is talking about at the beginning. God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. The problem not with the law, with us who live in the flesh. You imagine if you buy a new power tool and you ignore the instructions and then you cut off your fingers, it's not the fault of the tool, it's because you ignore the instructions. And we're like people who've ignored God's instructions. But God, in his great mercy and love, has done what we could not do, sending his son Jesus to free us from that condemnation we deserve. Verse 3 again, by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. The eternal son who came down into this world, entered humanity, taking on human nature, experiencing life like us, but without sin. The perfect son of God who had that perfect life on this earth, didn't deserve even a nanosecond of condemnation. But then at the cross, where he faced much more than a nanosecond of condemnation, he faced the full weight of God's judgment against the sin of his people, against our sin. that there at the cross, God condemned sin in the flesh. There, as Jesus died in our place, took the blame, bore the wrath, taking that judgment for us. And as he takes that judgment, that condemnation, so in return, we receive his righteousness. Verse 4, we read that this happened in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. There's only one person who has perfectly fulfilled the righteous requirement of the law, and that is Jesus, who's perfectly righteous. But the Bible says wonderfully that when we belong to Jesus, his righteousness becomes ours. He who knew no sin was made sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So we can have that perfectly right relationship with God. So we can move from condemnation to no condemnation. So we can be freed from that prison of sin and death to have that freedom of life with God that Jesus came to set us free. We all deserve condemnation, but the good news that Jesus came to set us free. So now we can read that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And as we go through this series in Romans 8, we'll see more about what our new relationship with God looks like because of what Jesus has done. And we'll think a bit about that this morning, now, as we think about what our relationship with God looks like now. If there's no condemnation for us in Christ Jesus. Well, it's a relationship with God that means we can go through life with real confidence and assurance and hope. Even in these first 11 verses, and we'll get more later on, even in these first 11 verses, we get a sense of the closeness and the intimacy of our relationship with God if we know Jesus. Relationship with our God who is three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we get language that you may have picked up as I was reading about us being in him and him being in us. A kind of closeness that is ultimately beyond our understanding, but is so wonderful and glorious. So in verse 9, we read that this change has taken place in us so that we are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. That's true of us if we know Jesus as our Saviour. We're not in the flesh, we're in the Spirit. And why are we in the Spirit? Well, it's because the Spirit of God dwells in you. Aren't those mind-blowing words? That's quite a change, isn't it? From people who deserve condemnation, who were once enemies of God, now the Spirit of God dwells in us. And because our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one God, we then read in verse 10 that because the Spirit dwells in us, well, we can say that Christ is in you. Christ is in us by his Spirit. And again in verse 11, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, that's the Spirit of the Father, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. This is mind-blowing language, isn't it? I was thinking this morning of another song we're not singing today, but again, maybe after the service. King of Kings, Majesty, God of Heaven, living in me. It's a simple line to sing, isn't it? But wow, that's a fairly profound line. God of Heaven, living in me. Everything we face in life, that we can face it in the context of that relationship, with that close, intimate relationship with the God of Heaven, that we can say, the God of Heaven, living in me. And in that relationship, even though God is perfectly holy and we're weaker too to sin, it's still a relationship where we can say there is no condemnation. That there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That when we face times of suffering and trial in our lives, we can know that God is on our side to help us. He's not there to condemn us. If we're in Christ Jesus, when we go through suffering, God is for us, not against us to condemn us. Think about times when you've been particularly unwell, and I know for some of us that includes today and for this period of life. And I'm sure I'm not the only one when you're feeling particularly unwell, where you can end up with this sense of guilt about the things that you feel you should be doing. Do you find that as well? You feel like, I should be doing this in the church, or I should be doing this in the family, or I've got these responsibilities, I should be doing this and this and this, and you get this sense of guilt. Well, when we're unwell, God is not there loading us with extra guilt and more things we failed to do or should have done. No, he sent his son to take that guilt away. No, God is not there to condemn us. He's in us to help us and to bring us comfort and show us his love and his care and his concern, whatever suffering you go through. Because there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And he's there to help us in our ongoing struggles with sin as well. We're described in this passage, and we'll think about this a bit more next week, that we're described as people who walk according to the Spirit, that there's a new way of life that we're called to follow as God's people. And as we live out that life, we will fail. We will continue to sin. We will continue to fall short. And when we fail, God is not rushing down to condemn us, but again, he's there with us to help us, to bring his forgiveness and his help, working in us as a God of heaven living in us. Because there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And this relationship with God, because there's no condemnation, this relationship with God leads to a glorious future. Look down at verse 10. Remember, the eternal future we deserve is condemnation, death, darkness. And we're told in verse 10 that if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. So we enjoy life with God by the Spirit, but we experience it in bodies that still suffer the decay and sickness and death of life in this fallen world, that death that has come into this world because of sin. But, verse 11, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies. And if you belong to Jesus and the spirit dwells in you, one day you will rise like Jesus with a glorious new body to live in a glorious new creation with him forever. You'll give life to your mortal bodies where there'll be no more aches, no more pains, no more sight loss, no more hearing loss, no more depression, no more PTSD, no more cancer, no more heart disease, no more suffering, no more death, just life. We deserve condemnation. How different the future looks because of Jesus. Life, glory. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. This wonderful new close relationship that gives us assurance when we go through suffering, when we continue to face sin, when we, whatever we face, we look forward with hope. At this point, I really do want to underline one of the words in that sentence, that there really is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's important. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that's something we may find it hard to believe because we know the experience of Romans chapter 7. I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. And we have this frustration of our ongoing sin. But the Bible says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I was thinking about this in Sainsbury's yesterday. I do a lot of my sermon prep in Sainsbury's on Saturdays. And Some of us, so I'm just thinking about the things that we should have bought yesterday we forgot to buy. So some of us, when we go shopping, we have to pay extra careful attention to the ingredients lists on the back of packaging. That's our experience. And imagine if you have something like a nut allergy. And you go to the shop and you pick up something that you think there's no way this could have nuts in it. You pick up something like a strawberry trifle that you can have for your breakfast the next day. And you pick up this strawberry trifle and you turn it over, and what does it say on the back? May contain traces of nuts. Like, ah! Well, here's the good news. Our life in Jesus does not contain traces of condemnation. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because it's all based on him. It's not based on me. It's based on what he's done. It's all about his righteousness, not mine. It's based on what he has done, and he has paid it all. There's no condemnation. God isn't keeping a bit of condemnation in reserve just to see how well we get on. That Jesus hasn't just freed us from some condemnation and then we have to deal with the rest ourselves. That we're not just freed from condemnation for today and then, well, for tomorrow God will just see how he feels in the morning. No. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because God has condemned sin in the flesh once for all, that Jesus has paid it all. Your relationship is secure in Jesus. Whatever suffering you face, whatever sin you continue to fall into, your relationship, your eternity with God is secure, because there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. A mind-blowing sentence for sinners like us to hear today. Which leaves us with an important question to close. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you in Christ Jesus? That's the key question. Are you in Christ Jesus? That phrase is one of the Bible's favourite ways of talking about Christians. Paul never talks about Christians in his letters. He talks about those who are in Christ, who have this special relationship with him, who belong to him, who trust in him, who have faith in him, and are united to him, joined to him by that faith. Are you in Christ Jesus? I've recently finished reading a novel that was written in the Second World War, and is set in the Second World War as well, in London. And so it takes place against the background of air raids and bombed out houses and all this kind of thing. And what happens when you hear an air raid siren, if we're in wartime London, well, if you're sensible, you get in a bomb shelter, somewhere where you will be safe. Well, this morning we've heard a siren, a warning of judgment, of condemnation. And unlike the Nazi bombing raids, this is a judgment that we deserve, a good and right judgment against our sin. We've had that warning this morning, but we've also had the reminder that Jesus is the shelter that we need, that Jesus is the refuge that we need, so we can be free from danger, free from condemnation. And where bomb shelters in wartime London are not very exciting places to be, being in Christ Jesus is a wonderful place to be. A place of real life. A place of intimate relationship with the God of heaven. A place of certain hope, whatever tomorrow brings. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And so this morning, have you heard that warning? And have you come to trust in Jesus? And to find a refuge in him, to find hope in him. If your answer this morning is no, then as we begin this new series, I'd love to chat to you after the service. It may be that you've got lots of questions, and I'd love to chat to you about those questions, and hopefully show you more of what Jesus has done and why that's good news for you, Good news for me, good news for all of us. And if your answer this morning is yes, that you have come to trust in Jesus, you know what it means to be in Christ Jesus, to have that relationship with God, the God of heaven living in you. Well, Romans 8 verse 1 is a good verse to remember, isn't it? There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Here's a sentence to commit to memory, to burn into your mind, to write on a bit of paper and stick it on your fridge where you'll see it every day for the next month. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The good news for us today. I gave you 5 mind-blowing facts at the beginning. I'll be testing you next week. But if you only remember one, remember the most mind-blowing of all. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let me pray. Father God, we praise you for these mind-blowing, wonderful truths. How you sent your Son into this world and in him condemned sin in the flesh. That he took the blame, bore the wrath, so we can be forgiven. And so we can have this new, wonderful relationship of intimacy and closeness with you. We thank you for the assurance we can have, whatever trials and temptations we face, knowing that you are with us. And I pray for each of us in our different situations, that you would show us how these words are good news for us today, how they can bring us reassurance and comfort, confidence and hope. And we pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus, who died for us. Amen.